We have just spent a full year in 1st and 2nd Peter, and these two little letters, although small, were powerful. They were filled with tremendous doctrinal truth, some of it pretty heavy truth, about end times and the end of the world. So I grew a lot studying them, and hopefully you did too. But rather than jump into another series, a long time series, I decided to spend a few weeks teaching on miscellaneous subjects. So today we'll be looking at this passage we just read in Proverbs 30, a lighter passage, a nature passage. Next Sunday we'll be looking at Psalm 127 and also the gospel accounts where parents brought their children to Jesus to be blessed. And we're going to have baby dedications, child dedications. And I don't want to use the word babies because sometimes we haven't dedicated our children that are bigger. And so I'm inviting whole families to come together and dedicate their children to the Lord, parents and grandparents both. So if you've got children in your family, we don't baptize infants. That's not a biblical practice, but we do dedicate them and pray that they'll grow to the point someday of desiring to be a Christian themselves and be baptized. So that's next Sunday, special Sunday for that. The following Sunday, since it's close to St. Patrick, I may do a teaching on who St. Patrick is and what he... That would be good? Okay, well, then I'll say I will be doing it instead of I might. And then maybe we'll get into a series sometime in the near future. I'm hoping to do a series called The Life of David, A Man After God's Own Heart. A man after God's own heart. Don't you want to be a person after God's own heart? And so it's rather than do a book of the Bible, we'll do a character study for several weeks on the life of David. If you want to get a head start, you can begin reading in 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel 16 through the end and into 2 Samuel, you'll get the life of David. He's also mentioned in Chronicles. So just start reading about David, and hopefully we'll cover not just the main events of his life, but some of the maybe more obscure sides that we don't get to hear much about. But today I've titled my message, Small But Wise. Small But Wise. And this is from Proverbs 30, verses 24 through 28. The writer gives us the theme immediately in verse 24. Let me read it to you. Four things on earth are very small, but they are very wise. The author, his name is A-G-U-R, Agur. He's mentioned in verse 1 of this chapter. Not all the Proverbs were written by Solomon. This man must have been a nature buff. He must have loved animals. So he illustrates this theme of being small but wise, describing four little creatures. Ants, not much smaller than that, right? That's, we're going to see how ants can be wise. Rock badgers, we'll learn what they are. Locusts and lizards. So we'll be following that scripture reading that you have in your bulletin. Each of these creatures somehow illustrates wisdom. I don't think they have very big brains. A little ant doesn't have much of a brain. A lizard, but they show wisdom. So today we're going to seek to discover how these little creatures demonstrate wisdom and hopefully draw some application for our own lives. Now, obviously, this man loved nature. Do you love nature? I think a lot of you have chosen to live up here because you love the beauty of nature. You can learn a lot about life and about our Creator by pausing to consider His creatures. And that's what this man did. We need to stop and pause and marvel more. We're always rush, 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 and we look past what God has given us. So today we're going to take a nature walk. We're going to look at ants and lizards and locusts and badgers, and we're going to see what we can learn. Do you remember that old poem? It's also a song by Cecil Francis Alexander that goes like this. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. He gave us eyes to see them and lips that we might tell how great is God Almighty who has made all things well. Isn't that a gorgeous, gorgeous song? Gorgeous poem? Before we look at these four creatures, let's look back at this theme one more time. Four things on earth are very small. So he's not pinpointing giant animals, but little animals. He says, but they can show great wisdom. I think he's trying to say something. It doesn't matter how little or how big you are on the outside. It's what's in the inside that matters. Man looks on the outward. God looks on the heart. Obviously, when he's talking about small, he's talking about size. These were weak, little, insignificant creatures. Most of us would step on a grasshopper or an ant. This man stops to look at it and think, how can they show us wisdom? But by way of application, there's other ways to be small, isn't there? The importance of humility, of humbling ourselves before the Lord. Weakness, brokenness, dependence on God. God doesn't use the proud, the arrogant, the big shots. He delights in using the weak and the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Listen to James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Isn't that a beautiful song we just sang? Humble yourself. It's a beautiful truth. Do you want to be useful for God? Humble yourself. A.W. Tozer said this, God cannot use a man greatly until he has broken him deeply. God cannot use you in great ways until he has broken you. And how does God break us? Well, if we don't humble ourselves, he will humble us, sometimes through hardship and trial and pain. God needs us to be humble people, to be useful people. Okay, so let's turn our attention to these four small creatures, and we'll look at them one by one. The first one is an ant. That's Proverbs 30, verse 25. The first are ants. They aren't very strong, but they store up their food in the summer. That's it. That's all he says about the ant. Do you like ants? No. Most of us view them as pests. I have a constant battle with ants in the church kitchen. I don't know why, but they just love our kitchen. Maybe because there's water present. Maybe there's leftover iced tea on the counter and I don't see it. I don't know, but they just suddenly get the word out. And not just one, but hundreds of ants. And then I got to work on eliminating the ants. We hire exterminators because they can cause damage. Now, we're not hiring exterminators from the little ants in the kitchen, but when you get carpenter ants, they can cause damage, can't they? I'm sure most of us consider ants as a nuisance. But here, God tells us that they're wise. Maybe they deserve a closer look. Do you know that there's over 12,000 species of ants? And they actually play a pretty important role on the planet, especially that of decomposing plants and animals. So God has them here for a purpose. They live in large colonies. You know, I grew up on an 80-acre farm, not grew up all my life. 7 years I was in a foster family, and they had 80 acres for us to roam. And it's all wooded. A little bit of pasture, but mostly woods. And we knew where this one large ant colony lived. It was actually close to our bus stop, so we're waiting for the bus. We would poke at the ants. I mean, this thing was a mound. And we thought about, you know, disturbing the ants and watching them all run around. Do you know, I visited that farm a year or two ago, and 50 years later, that ant colony is still there. That hill is no different than it was 50 years ago when I was a kid. These ant colonies, they have queens and drones and workers. They have a whole society all working together to do what they do. Let me tell you about a couple fascinating ant species. Just two, not 12,000 of them. That would take a little while. Let me tell you about two of them. The first is called the leafcutter ant. You ever heard of the leafcutter ant? These ants leave the nest to forage for leaves, cutting them into small semicircle pieces with their sharp, pointed jaws. Here's a close-up picture The author of Psalm 30 could not see as closely as we are. This is obviously under a microscope. So how much more should we appreciate and marvel at these ants? I mean, this man says, these ants are pretty incredible. He had no clue what we know. What these ants do is they carry these pieces back to their nest to be further processed as food for their colony. They're sometimes called parasol ants, since they carry their leaves over their heads. Isn't that a cute picture? They do not seem strong to us, but they can carry several times their own weight. Now, I can't carry my own weight, let alone several times my own weight. But compared to us, they're weak because they're small, but they're super strong for their size. You want to learn more about ants? How about this variety of ants? It's called a honeypot ant. You ever heard of a honeypot ant? They live in hot, dry desert places. So they have to store their food, not always available during the rainy season. Here's what they do is they go out and the workers leave the nest and they collect nectar, which then they can feed the stay-at-home ants, the repletes. These replete ants then store the nectar in their abdomens until they get as large as grapes. So this is a stay-at-home ant. The other ants are filling them with nectar, and they store it in their bodies. Isn't that amazing? Then when the dry season comes, these honey jar or honeypot ants regurgitate the nectar and feed the rest of the ants. I watched a video on this, and I saw men eating these ants, and they said they're sweet like honey. That the Aborigines and the people that are living off the land know how to dig up these colonies of ants and eat them. So working together, these little ants take care of each other. He gives us eyes to see them and lips that we might tell how great is God Almighty who has done all things well. Isn't that amazing, the balance of nature? No wonder these small creatures are considered wise. Let me draw a few applications. Number one, ants work hard. There's an application for us. We need to be hardworking. They're called workers, worker ants. Are we hard workers? Proverbs 6, verse 6 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. You guys know what a slug is? We have slugs in Oregon where I lived. They're like a snail without a shell. There's a long, slimy, I think we call them banana slugs. They move very slow. In the town that we lived in Brightwood, not Wrightwood, Brightwood, they have the annual slug races. People bring their slugs and they put them on a board with circles and they put them all in the middle and then they see which slug will find its way out. How fun is that? Sit around and drink beer and watch slugs. Go to the ant, oh sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief or officer or ruler prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. Ants are smarter than us. They work hard. They go out and gather. So not only do they work hard, they work together. They show the power of teamwork. We need a little lesson there about working together. We're all individuals. We live in a society where we kind of isolate ourselves. We need to work together. These ants don't live on their own. They live in a colony. They gather. Not only do they work hard, work together, but they plan ahead. And that's the author's main point. They store up food in the summer when it's available so that they can have it in the winter when it's not available. The old saying about they make hay while the sun shines. They work for the night is coming. They understand the times. They understand that there's a time to work and a time to rest. They're proactive. They're prepared. Do we plan ahead? Do we think ahead? Prepare ahead. Learn from the ant. Let's consider a second wise creature. This is verse 26. The second are rock badgers. They aren't very powerful, but they make their home among the rocks. Now, if you read different translations, you'll come up with different words for this little creature. It's a little bit confusing. It's not really a badger like we think of a badger, like a honey badger or a mean little badger. This is a harmless little creature. King James call them conies, which is actually another name for rabbit. So they look like a little rabbit. They're also called marmots. All seem to agree that this is a hyrax, H-Y-R-A-X. That's the proper name of the species. Isn't that a cute little creature? Like a little groundhog kind of a thing. It's a small mammal about the size of a cat with short legs, brown fur, a stubby little tail, little round ears. They look like a large guinea pig. Does that sound pretty fierce to you? Intimidating? That guy looks scary. I don't think he has much of a chance against a bigger creature like a coyote or a wolf or a bird of prey. They're helpless little creatures. They have many enemies, and their only defense is to run and hide from their predators. The verse says, they aren't very powerful, but they make their home among the rocks. God has gifted these creatures uniquely. They have built-in sunglasses. They have a lens that covers the pupil of their eyes, so their eyes can be open, yet they're shaded, enable them to watch for birds of prey, even in the bright light. They're always watching, always looking. They have special feet that act like suction cups, enabling them to climb onto steep rocks and down into deep holes. They work together to protect their family. So what wisdom can we learn from the hyrax? Number one, rock badgers stick together. One alone is not going to be doing too well. If it wanders away, it's going to be dead meat. They stick together. They stay in large families. They snuggle together for warmth and companionship. There they are, the little rock badgers. You know, we also need each other. This pandemic, one of the sad things about it is it's pulled us apart. Social distancing. We don't need social distancing. We need togetherness, social connectedness. These are creatures that need each other and support each other, and we need each other, and we need to support each other. Let's stop distancing ourselves and start drawing together. Another way they act wisely is rock badgers watch out for each other, not just for themselves. The male is always watching for predators. He sounds the alarm when danger approaches, so together they find safety. We need each other. We need to watch out for each other. We need to warn each other of danger. We need to protect one another. Rock badgers, number three, know where to find refuge. It says they make their home in the rocks. That's a pretty stable place, in the rocks. Have you found the ultimate refuge? The place of safety? Christ is called our rock and our refuge. In Psalm 18:2, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. You know, we have an enemy too. We have predators. The Bible says Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's on the hunt. Our only safety is in Christ, to stay near to him, under his wings. He's our rock, our refuge. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee, the hymn says. We need to learn from the rock badger to run to refuge, run to Christ for safety. Let's consider a third wise creature. Locusts. Verse 27 goes, the third are locusts. They don't have a king, but they all march forward in ranks. Locusts are from the same family as the grasshopper. They're just bigger. They're an overgrown grasshopper, some as big as 6 inches. That's a pretty big grasshopper. They multiply quickly, and they become hoppers. But eventually they mature and begin to fly. So grasshoppers don't usually fly too much, but these fly. And ultimately, they form swarms. I read a little bit about locust swarms. Millions of locusts covering hundreds of miles at a time. They can destroy all the plants and crops in their path. It gets so bad that they can't drive on the roads because the roads become too slippery from all the dead locusts on the ground. They have to stop trains because trains will run off their tracks because the tracks are covered with locusts. So these things, when they swarm, they destroy. How are these things considered wise? Well, let's see. Number one, locusts have an instinct for direction. Direction. God prompts them to march forward, and they march forward. It says they don't have a king, but they all march forward in ranks. They're like an army going forward. God gives them an instinct to do what they do. Now, why God even allows locusts? I don't know. Why does he allow forest fires? Why he allows many things to destroy? But God does. My question is, are we listening for God's direction? Are we following him when he says move forward? Are we moving forward in ranks, it says? We get marching orders. We need to work together as an army in the positive sense. Locusts also have an instinct for unity. Locusts show us that there's power in numbers. Together, they can impact the world in a negative way, and together, we can impact our world in a positive way. We should impact the world in a positive way. One locust by itself, inconsequential. Millions of locusts is a power to be reckoned with. One Christian alone maybe can make a difference, but when the church bands together, goes the same direction, we can make a difference. Let's finally now consider a fourth wise creature. Verse 30 says, and the fourth are lizards. Your hand can catch them, but you will find them in kings' palaces. Lizards are the most common reptiles. They come in an amazing assortment of color and sizes. I grew up as a little kid in the desert, and we would catch lizards and horny toads and all the variety of lizards. They were beautiful. Did any of the kids still do that? I tell you, they really like over here by my office. There's a sunny spot. Every spring, there's lizards everywhere. Sometimes they slip in, leave the door open, and they slip in, and they get into the church, into the office. They aren't usually very fierce or very fast, but sometimes they're tricky, and they get past you. But they have an amazing defensive mechanism. When attacked, they can lose their tail. It continues to wiggle, so the prey is satisfied, while the lizard slips off safely to grow another tail. What ways are lizards wise? It isn't obvious at first glance. It says you can catch them, your hand can catch them, but you will find them in kings' palaces. What does that mean? I'm going to offer two suggestions. I like the second one better, but I'll give you the first one. Lizards have persistence. They're able to get past people, even palace guards, and they live uninvited in homes. They are persistent. They want to get in. They can get in. Most view lizards as unwanted pests. You see a lizard, and they make you jump, and they startle you, so you want to get them out of there. So I guess the application for our lives is we must be persistent, never to give up. Keep moving forward. Don't take no for an answer. But that's not the best application. There's another interpretation. I remember a missionary friend of mine that I knew from Bible college. His name is Jared. He's spoken here before. Jared lived in Suriname, South America, and before that he lived in India as a child. He now lives in Florida, so he's always lived in tropical places. So I wrote him this email. Jared, do I remember you telling me that lizards are sometimes allowed in homes to eat mosquitoes and flies? I'm preparing a message from Proverbs 30, 24 to 28, and it mentions lizards in the palace. This is his reply. Yes, definitely. There are small lizards that people allow in their homes that live on the walls, and they eat mosquitoes and all those other pesky things. No one bothers them. You find this all over the tropics. Most people never chase them outside. Have a good time preaching. So with this in mind, I want to share a better application. Lizards have a helpful purpose. They're not unwanted guests. They're welcome guests. I remember going to Hawaii in nice motels, but you've seen lizards on the walls. And it scares us, but it's normal for them. Geckos, lizards. Remember, in those days when this was written, there's no air conditioning, no screens. So they had open windows, get the breeze coming through. So what would come in? Not just the lizards, but mosquitoes, roaches, flies. So mosquitoes, they're the real pests. Mosquitoes kill more people than any other animal on the planet. And so if you have a creature like a little lizard to help eliminate them, they're welcomed in their homes. That's why even though they're easy to catch, lizards are allowed to stay in homes and palaces. So what's the application for us? We may not be big. We may not be important in the eyes of the world, but God has a plan for us. God has a purpose for us. God has a use for us. We say, that little lizard, God has a purpose for it. It's eliminated mosquitoes in my house. Listen to Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship. No matter how big or small you are, no matter how strong or how weak you are, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You are created by God with a purpose. We need to find our niche and fulfill it. God has a purpose for for lizards that we wouldn't even think. God has a purpose for you that you may not even imagine, but he has a purpose for you to fulfill. So we've taken a little nature walk today. We've learned about four creatures that are small but wise. In what ways are they wise? Let me review. The ant shows us the wisdom of planning ahead. In summer, it prepares for winter. You know, on a spiritual level, are you planned ahead more than just this life, but for the life after? An ant prepares for winter. We need to prepare for the winter of our soul. We're all going to pass someday from this world into the next. We're either going to live with Christ in heaven or without him in eternity. Think ahead. Don't just think about today. Think about tomorrow. Think about eternity. Have you given your heart and soul to the Lord, to Jesus Christ? Have you made him your Savior so that you might be in heaven? We just read that verse. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Have you become a new creature? Have you gotten right with the Lord? So the ant shows us the wisdom of planning ahead, not just physically, but spiritually. The rock badger shows us the wisdom of staying alert. Staying alert. And the wisdom of staying close to the rock. Don't wander away from the Lord. Don't wander away from your church. The locust shows us the wisdom of working together. One grasshopper alone won't accomplish much. You can stomp on it. But many working together is a power to be reckoned with. You alone may not make much of a difference, but us together, working together, can make a difference for Christ and his kingdom. The lizard shows us the wisdom of being useful. Useful. Each of us, no matter how small, has a purpose to fulfill in this world. All four of these creatures, the ants, badgers, locusts, and lizards, they all teach us the importance of humility because they're small. Small but significant. God can use and chooses to use the small, the weak, and the foolish of this world. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can look at Scripture and learn about nature. And even that can be applied to our life. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to be useful in whatever realm you put us in. In Jesus' name we pray.